But then we learned something else. A man came on in off the street, and I had been seeing these people on the sidewalks of Calcutta, and I was really inside. You know, love is not supposed to cause you pain, but I hadn't learned that yet. And I was still experiencing pain for these people on the street corners of Calcutta who took their baths on the street corner because that's where the hydrant was. There was no running water. So everybody lines up. The men are shaving one another on the sidewalk, and people are taking a bath on the street corner. And so many people had nowhere to go, no place to live, and no way to even wash. A man came into the home for the destitute dying. He had a huge gash on his leg, and it was infected. And our job was to wash him. I was with a young Japanese man who was he was love alive. He was just a bundle of living love. He was willing to do anything that he had to do for these people in this home for the destitute dying. And so I grabbed him and I said, you know, we couldn't speak the same language. We didn't speak the language of the patients, and he and I didn't speak Japanese, he didn't speak English, but we understood one another enough to work together. We took this man back and we took his clothes and began to wash him. And he had on this little loincloth, this little sort of twisted handkerchief that they wear, and he wouldn't let us remove the loincloth. And I thought, well, that's modesty, but the thing was filthy. And as we washed this man, his body was covered with coal dust. And as we're trying to wash this black, oily stuff off of this gash in his flesh, we're trying to be gentle, trying to get this clean. And we washed and we washed, and the water ran black as we got this soot off his body that must have been there for who knows how long. This homeless man who had nothing and no one. And that's what we were learning about these people. Nobody loved them, and that's what they felt. And as we gave this man a bath and came down to that last little bit, that loincloth had to come off. And the Japanese fellow looked at me, and from the way he looked at me, I knew what he was going to do. He didn't have to say anything. We weren't speaking the same language. So I took the man's hands and held him while he yanked the loincloth, and it came off. And you know what happened? This man had his treasures rolled up in that little piece of cloth. It's all he owned in the world. There were a couple of stones in there, and there were some washers off bolts because they looked like coins. They weren't worth anything, but to him, it was all he had. That was his bank. And there were a couple of real coins and one piece of paper money. It was a 10 rupee. And 10 rupees is worth about 5 cents, maybe. And that was the most money that he had. And as his treasures went all over the floor, we understood it wasn't modesty. But that's where he kept his treasure. And as we took off the loincloth and all his treasures went all over the floor, I immediately went down to gather up these things and to try to communicate with him without language. I understand. These are important to you. We got a clean cloth to put them in, and we wrapped them up and handed them to him. And then is when I got my lesson. You know what that man did? He picked up that 10 rupee note and tried to give it to me. And again, I was in tears. And I said to my friend who was working with me, who's the patient here? Who's teaching love to whom? I was learning love from these patients who were caring for each other. They would get us and steer us in the direction of somebody who needed help. They were looking after each other. And the atmosphere of love in that place was such that these people came there to die with dignity. But I watched them walk out, alive and well, healed by nothing but love, because that's all we had to heal with. And that is enough. It's enough to heal you. It's enough to heal me. Love is life. When Moses asked God his name, God responded with, I am life. And then when John wrote a little bit later, he said, God is love and God is life. And he wrote, to the extent that any of you has life, it's because God is alive in you. So we learn that the terms are synonymous. Life, love, God, light. Enlightenment is God in you. To the extent that you're aware, it's because God is alive in you. And that's living love. And to the extent that you love, it's because God is in you, because God is love. And do you know what that means? If I love you, I God you. What if we just stopped using that word that people have distorted with romantic connotations and stop saying I love you and start saying I God you? What would happen if we start Godding each other? We make one another more alive. That's what this is about tonight. This is what this healing service is about. I want to God you. And I want you to have the opportunity to God anyone here who needs healing. I want to tell you one last experience that was the moment of healing for me in India. And I want you to know this because of the gift that we can give to one another. The greatest gift that I ever received in my life came from a man who had died on the street in Calcutta. I didn't know him until he came in after his death. But when he was brought in, Sister Luke didn't allow the volunteers to take care of the dead. She washed them and prepared them herself. And one thing that I want you to know is Mother Teresa is not in Calcutta to make Catholics out of Muslims. If they're Muslim, they get a Muslim burial. And they get encouragement to worship in their religion. And that's one of the reasons I went there. This woman knows that God is not in a square brown box labeled Catholic. And I knew that God was not in a square brown box labeled Baptist anymore. I let him out of the box. And I found that he was too big to fit in it again. And I found that instead of blaming me, he loved me. Especially when I needed it. And you know, I don't know if you believe in reincarnation or not. It's not particularly important. You don't have to believe in it at all. You'll come back anyway. But this lady told me, she said, there's something so sad in your face. And I said, listen, lady, I don't want to hear that. I'm a happy person, and I've been joyous for most of my life. I spent the first half of my life being sad, but I'm joyous now, and I don't want you to see sadness in my face. And she said, oh, no, no, I'm sorry, you misunderstand. She said, there's a sadness in you that comes from way back. Way back when you wanted, and she stopped and she thought for a minute, she said, you were alive when Jesus was on earth, but you never saw him and you never touched him. But you served him after he was gone. And she said, ever since then, your soul has wanted to touch the Christ. And she said, you know, this can't make sense. But the message that I'm getting is, you're going to have the opportunity to touch the body of the Christ in this lifetime. And I thought, yes, that does sound a little peculiar. How's that going to happen? I mean, one of the inspirational verses of the Bible to me was when Job wrote, I am convinced that in my flesh I shall see God. And every time I read that verse, I got this lift from it because I wanted to say that for myself. I am convinced that in my flesh I shall see God. And so that was my favorite Bible verse. And when she said this, it reminded me, that's my favorite verse. And something rang true about it. She had hit the nail on the head. I